Vishnu Vandaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachamine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Aschatya Deshatarine Macha Kalpatru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So I'm happy to be back here in Nava Yoga Pita. Nava Yoga Pita Dhamma. Nice to see you all again. Since I was last here, I've been in some strange places. Including China. They think Slovenia is a strange place. If I tell them I'm going to Slovenia, they say, where? So, yesterday we celebrated the glorious appearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And in a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating Gaurapurnima, the appearance day of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And considering both of these events, I thought I would speak something about Lord Chaitanya and his associates, sort of getting us warmed up for Gaurapurnima. Already some time in advance, we can start warming up for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. And by hearing about him and his associates, and I thought to do this with the help of some comments from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So let's see how it goes. I'm also, just to tell you a little of context of my reading, a certain section of Chaitanya Charitamrita is that I'm teaching a course online on Chaitanya Charitamrita. We had the first part of the course in January and beginning of February. And now we've started up the second part. And it goes over a 5-week period. And our topic coming up in a couple of days will be the first part of 2 parts on the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Well, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya are very extensive and very elaborate and very wonderful. There is a book, Slovenian also, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Yeah. How many of you have this book? Okay, many. How many of you read the book? Ah, okay. So, very good. You're all very learned, studious. Uh-huh. There we have the book. Nauk Gospoda Chaitanya. Yes, very nice. So, I don't think it will stand so well. Shanti. Well, I don't want to get into the teachings as such, because the teachings, well, maybe I should not say that, because it is about his teachings. A particular teaching I thought to look at prior to a major teaching he gives, which is to Rupa Goswami. And that is during his travels, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets Rupa Goswami. Now, it could be slightly confusing. There's a section in, I think it's in the 17th chapter of Madhya Lila. Could be a little confusing because it seems like it's describing Rupa Goswami in Vrindavan before he gets to Vrindavan. So it goes a little out of sequence, but we won't worry about that. What I want to look at is a little section where Lord Chaitanya he's been in Vrindavan, and he meets one Brahmana whose name is not given. He's simply referred to as the Sanodiya Brahmana. Sanodiya. Sanodiya, it turns out, Prabhupada explains in a purport, is a particular caste. And these people are not Brahmanas, so this makes it a little complicated. They are a Vaishya caste. Vaishyas, you all know, most of you know, many of you know, are the merchants and such people. And depending on which sort of occupation one has as a merchant, one will be considered higher or lower class of Vaishya. Yeah, Indian culture can be like that. There can be lots of worrying about sort of hierarchy, who's above who. This got aggravated when the British came. It wasn't so bad before the British came. But the point here is that this is a person who was a Brahmana for the Sanodiyas. Because he was a Brahmana for these people who were considered lower caste, therefore this Brahmana was considered also lower caste. You may say, wait a minute, I thought Brahmins are high caste. Well, like I said, it gets complicated. And why does this matter? It matters because normally, according to Krishnadas Kaviraj, a sannyasi would not accept food from a Sanodiya Brahmana because they're considered low caste. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts food from this particular Sanodiya Brahmana. Why? Here's the reason. I'm reading from chapter 17, Madhya Lila. This is verse 180, if you want to check. Tathapi puridakhi thara vaishnava achar shishakari thara bhikkha koila angikar. Although the brahmana belonged to a Sanodiya community, Srila Madhavendra Puri saw that he behaved like a Vaishnava and therefore accepted him as his disciple. The food he cooked was also accepted by Madhavendra Puri. Now you may say, wait a minute, Madhavendra Puri, isn't he before Lord Chaitanya? Yes. And that's the point. This is all leading up to, this is all background for now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming, meeting this Sanodiya Brahmana, and finding out that this Sanodiya Brahmana is actually a godbrother of his own guru. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guru is Ishvara Puri, who is a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And so he appreciates this Sanodiya Brahmana very much, and he's very happy to receive an invitation from him for prasadam. Okay? So it goes on. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu willingly requested food from the Brahmana, and the Brahmana, feeling a natural humility, began to speak as follows. It is a great fortune for me to offer you food. You are the Supreme Lord, and being in the transcendental position, you are not restricted in any way. Nahi tomar vidhi vyavahara. Foolish people will blaspheme you, but I shall not tolerate the words of such mischievous people. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, the Vedas, Puranas, and great learned sages are not always in agreement with one another. Consequently, there are different religious principles. Okay, now begins a little instruction, but quite important one, from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's leading up to a famous verse, which is from the Mahabharata, and it goes like this. Tarko pratishta shrutayo vibhinna nasa vrishir yasya matam nabhinnam dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena gata sapanta. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, and he's quoting here, dry arguments are inconclusive. A great personality whose opinion does not differ from others is not considered a great sage. Simply by studying the Vedas, which are variegated, one cannot come to the right path by which religious principles are understood. The solid truth of religious principles is hidden in the heart of an unadulterated, self-realized person. Consequently, as the Shastras confirm, one should accept whatever progressive path the Mahajanas advocate. All right, now you may say, okay, what's this got to do with the Sanodiya Brahmana and eating food? And I don't get it. Where are we here? What he's saying here is the Brahmana says to Lord Chaitanya that people are maybe going to criticize because I'm a low-class person, but you are taking food from my house. But I don't care what they say. And Lord Chaitanya is saying, that's a very good attitude, and it is justified And the reason it's justified is because there is someone named Madhavendra Puri, whom the implication is he is this Mahajana in whose heart real religious principles are situated. So people are going to criticize and they're going to quote the Vedas, they're going to give so many arguments why you should act like this and not like that and so on. And what he's saying here is all of this is transcended by certain persons who are called in Sanskrit Mahajana, which literally means big person. There's a very interesting purport here, which we won't go through, but I'll just recommend it to you. Verse 185, Prabhupada gives a quite long purport in which he explains that all kinds of people consider all sorts of different people as great people. And so he says, for example, the demons will consider Hiranyakashipu to be a Mahajana. He is, you know, giving good example of it. First class demon. And so on. He gives so many different sorts of verse. Materialists will consider, certain successful materialists to be Mahajanas. He mentions Pondraka. Pondraka was a fellow who was kind of aspiring to be recognized as Vasudeva. And Lord Krishna goes out and has a showdown. They have a duel. Lord Krishna kills him. He says for some people, Pondraka was a kind of Mahajana. So like this, so many Mahajanas are there, but the point that Krishna Das is making, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is making, the Mahajanas for the Vaishnavas are of a different class. They're a very different class. And the case in point is Madhavendra Puri. And Madhavendra Puri is mentioned by Krishna Das Kaviraj in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the early chapters as being what he calls the seed of the Chaitanya tree. We talked about this a little earlier today, that the spiritual family of followers of Chaitanya are described as being like members of branches and sub-branches of a grand tree, like a family tree. And every tree has a seed, and trees have roots. So the seed of the tree, of this Chaitanya tree, is considered to be Madhavendra Puri. So we may wonder, why is that? Well, one reason is given in a verse which he used to recite, and the verse goes like this: Ayi dina dayadranathe mataranatha kadavalokyase hridayam tvad aloka kataram daita brahmyati kim karomyaham. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my aggrieved heart has become unsteady. Brahmyati. O most beloved one, what shall I do? Kim karomyaham. Now you may say, so what's so special about that verse? Well, one thing special about it is its simplicity. It's addressing the Lord directly. Oh, my dear Lord, Dina Dayardra, O merciful Master, and Maturanatha, he's referring to the Lord as the Lord of Mathura, not the Lord of Vaikuntha, not Narayana. So he's being explicit, he's referring to Krishna here. And then he's asking a question, Kada avalokyase, when will I see you? When will I see you again? The implication is, I'm not seeing you now, you are absent. And this is the key to why Madhavendra Puri is the seed of the tree of Chaitanya, the tree of Chaitanya associates. Because of my not seeing you, my aggrieved heart has become unsteady. Oh, what is this? What kind of a transcendentalist is this? Heart unsteady, aggrieved? No, this can't be a transcendentalist. In fact, one of his disciples, who wasn't very bright, said, what's wrong with you, Guru Maharaj? You should be, you know, absorbed in Brahman, completely undisturbed. And you're talking about being disturbed. His disciple didn't get the point. This aggrieved heart, so-called, is actually an ecstatic heart. It's a heart which is unsteady because it is absorbed in longing for the Lord. And that feeling of longing, of intense desire to connect with the Lord, with the Beloved, as a lover desires to meet her Beloved. In other words, what we call Madhurya Bhava or Madhurya Rasa. That mood is expressed by Madhavendra Puri. And therefore, he is recognized as a Mahajana, as a great great soul, great person within the tradition. What he says is what is accepted as higher truth beyond all the various relative Vedic truths. Okay, now I wanted to turn to something that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments about Madhavendra Puri. I think this is interesting. He says, Sri Madhavendra Puri sang this Mula Mantra, he's referring to this particular verse, Ai Dina Dayadranate. Sri Madhavendra Puri sang this Mula Mantra, the key to that prema, love, which is the only object of pursuit, the only thing worth going after. The only prayojana, prayojana means goal, of the deserving soul, someone who deserves to follow this goal, is one who understands that this is the goal. Then he goes on to say, he gave this gift to India. We do not know if he gave it anywhere beyond India. Any resident of India who has heard this mantra, which is the root of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift of Krishna Prema, has attained the perfection of all goals of life. So just by hearing this mantra, you've attained the perfection of all, not just one goal of life, but all goals of life, according to Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. Not bad. Aribol. Do you want to hear the verse again, just to make sure you get that benefit? Okay, here we go. Ayi dinadayadranatahe maturanata kadavalokyase hridayam tvaraloka kataram daita brahmyati kinkaromyaham. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my aggrieved heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do? So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur calls this a mula mantra in the Pancharatra system of worship, like the deity worship we do. There are certain mantras, they're called mula mantras, and mula means root. So Madhavendra Puri is called the seed of the Chaitanya tree, and the mantra that he gives is called the mula mantra. So that's quite something. It's a confidential mantra. Okay, he goes on to say, those who have not heard it are bound in petty matters, insignificant, unimportant matters. Those who have not understood the necessity of this mula mantra have wasted their human form. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, sometimes he was very strong in his preaching. Surrender or else. He had this very, very strong, sharp style sometimes. So if you haven't heard this mantra, sorry. To sing this song of Vipralamba, Vipralamba in a sense means the mood of separation, is the dharma of the uncontaminated soul, our innate propensity. You know what this means? Innate propensity. Yeah, it's like natural inclination. He's saying it's the dharma of the uncontaminated soul. To sing this song is what we, in our natural condition, would be doing all the time. That's what he's saying. Even though we consider ourselves residents of Gaudadesha, northeast India, we are even now absorbed in endeavors for sense gratification. Such poverty is inexpressible in human language. So he's expressing the lamentation of, you know, the materially absorbed person. For release therefrom, from that materialist consciousness, Sri Madhavendra Puri sang this cant, this chant of Vipralamba. So, again, this is Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, who is calling attention to how important Madhavendra is as the root, he says root, as the seed with the root of the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's family of devotees. All right, just for a brief spell, I want to continue. Now, Lord Chaitanya has lunch with this Sanodiya Brahmana, who's Guru is Madhavendra Puri, and he has various further adventures in Vrindavan, which are described in these pages briefly. And one interesting thing goes on. It's described toward the end of this, and I just want to read some of this because one of the things I do in my course is do a little abstract analysis of how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relates to different types of, or different groups, different social groups, different religious groups, and so on. But he also relates to animals, and he relates to trees, and he relates to water, for example. And rocks, exactly, it relates to rocks. Okay, so here's this wonderful passage, and I just invite you to turn your mind into a sort of image picture book. You can make these images in your mind of Lord Chaitanya in Vrindavan. When Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed through Vrindavan, herds of grazing cows saw him pass and, immediately surrounding him, began to moo very loudly. What's the Slovenian word for the sound that cows make? Mukanje. So they made mukanje. Of course, you know what a dyslexic cow chants, don't you? Om, yes. All right. Seeing the herds approach him, the Lord was stunned with ecstatic love. The cows then began to lick his body in great affection. Becoming pacified, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to caress the cows, and the cows, being unable to give up his company, went with him. Now, of course, one has to keep in mind, we understand, who is Chaitanya? He is Krishna. It's Krishna returning to Vrindavan and meeting all of his friends, including the cows. It was with great difficulty that the cowherd men were able to keep the cows back. Then, when the Lord chanted, all the deer heard his sweet voice and approached him. When the does and bucks, the female and male deer, came and saw the Lord's face, they began to lick his body. Not being at all afraid of him, they accompanied him along the path. Well, that's not all. Bumblebees and birds, like the parrot and cuckoo, all began to sing loudly on the fifth note, and the peacocks began to dance in front of the Lord. What's Slovenian for bumblebee? Shmura? Shmura. No? Shmura. Shmura. Okay. Sorry. Shmurly. Whoa. Okay. Upon seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the trees and creepers of Vrindavan became jubilant. Their twigs stood up and they began to shed tears of ecstasy in the form of honey. The trees and creepers, overloaded with fruits and flowers, fell down at the lotus feet of the Lord and greeted him with various presentations as if they were friends. Thus, all the moving and non-moving living entities of Vrindavan became very jubilant to see the Lord. It was as if friends were made happy by seeing another friend. Seeing this affection, the Lord was moved by ecstatic love. He began to sport with them exactly as a friend sports with another friend. Thus, he voluntarily came under the control of his friends. And it goes on how he embraces each and every one of the trees, and he becomes overwhelmed, chanting with tears welling up in his eyes, and he calls out loudly, "Chant Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna." And everything around, the whole Vrindavan vibrates, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." Lord Chaitanya, he grabs around the neck of the deer and he begins to cry, and tears come from the deer's eyes. Then, that's not all. There's a male and a female parrot on a branch of a tree, and Lord Chaitanya sees them, and he wants to speak to the parrots. And so both the parrots come and land on the Lord's hand, and they begin to speak in Sanskrit. And what they speak, they are quoting, or maybe it's the other way around, but then comes a verse from another work by Krishnadas Kaviraj called the Govinda Lilamrita, and that's quoted here. They're glorifying Krishna. I won't take the time for that, but it's quite nice. So you can picture this scene, parrots speaking Sanskrit, perfect Sanskrit verses, speaking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Vrindavan, praising Krishna. They all see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna. There is, so to say, just too much ecstasy going on. In fact, there's so much ecstasy that the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Mahaprabhu, I think we should go away from here. There's too much ecstasy. It's getting dangerous." And so he agrees, and they leave, and where they go from Vrindavan is to Prayag, which is now called Allahabad. And this is where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will meet Rupa Goswami and will give him instructions over a period of 10 days. After which he'll meet Sanatan Goswami in Varanasi and instruct him for 2 months. So, these are just some thoughts, some pictures, some images to prime us, to get us started preparing for this very special event coming up at the end of this month, the wonderful appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Shishi Panchatattva ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaura Premanande. Do we have time for a question, if someone has a question? If anyone has a question or a thought? Yes.
You said that the bird started singing the fifth note.
What is that fifth note?
Yes.
I have always wondered this myself. What is this fifth note?
Well,
he plays on the fifth note. Yeah. All I can say is in Indian music, of course, you know, they have raga, raga is a kind of scale which includes, you know, specific intervals between the notes. And I understand, but my understanding may be wrong, that the fifth note is the fifth from the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think there are usually seven notes. So why the fifth note is so special, you have to ask a specialist in music. I think we're speaking of music. We had been planning for this summer, but it has to be postponed to next summer. There's going to be a course, 3 months long course in Rotterdam, Belgium, a music kirtan course. And it's going to be led, the overall leadership will be His Holiness Satchinandana Swami. And then there will be also some expert musician devotees, kirtaniyas, who will be giving very specific training. And the course runs for 3 months because it's going, they expect there will be classes and daily practice that goes for at least 7 hours a day for 3 months. And they say, the musicians say, they require this much time for someone to really make some progress. So, if you want to join that, start planning now. It'll be not this summer, but the next summer. Yeah, so you have time. Finally, I wanted to do a little show and tell. I'm happy and, dare I say, a bit proud to present a book which I've been working on editing together with our dear devotee, Radhika Raman Prabhu from America. This is a collection of articles on different themes related to or about the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is the first of two books that we're publishing. We're working on the second one with this academic publisher, Columbia University Press in New York. And these are being marketed for use in university classrooms in the English-speaking world. So, well, it's not in Slovenian, sorry, but who knows, maybe one day someone will translate. Anyway, this is called The Bhagavata Purana, Sacred Text and Living Tradition. And we have 12 articles by different scholars. Most of these are Vaishnavas. They're either Vaishnavas or they are very appreciative of the Vaishnavas. And they cover 12 different themes. One is reading, so reading the Bhagavatam, time and narrative, cosmology, ethics, thank you, commentary, sacred geography, theology, boundaries, dance, song, recitation, and text history. These are the 12 broad topics, and then each one is more specific. Yeah, so Hare Krishna. All right. I'll try to produce it.